Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you, and thank you, church. It is, again, just great to, great to be with you online. And a big welcome, a big shout out to everyone who's in the room there, and I can't wait to be back with you, but also everyone at home, from my home to yours. What a brilliant thing that, again, like church in many different rooms, many different ways, it is an amazing thing that we get to do this, and I hope to be back soon, absolutely. Well, 2022, we are well and truly up and running, and whether you are new to the church here or whether you've been here a while, I just want to encourage you with regard to this year, whether you are coming out of a year of abundance or a time of abundance, or whether you've been coming out of a time of lack. I want you to know that you can trust the Lord. And thank you, Michael, for such a brilliant communion this morning, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not on our own understanding. And He will guide us. He will guide you. Whether it's coming out of abundance or coming out of lack, He will guide you to what is coming next for you. Every time I've been thinking about these last couple of weeks, or been praying about the church, I just feel that there are some people that still associate with that feeling of being stuck. Perhaps you feel like you are stuck right now in a rut. I think of a cart that has wheels on it, that those wheels are somewhat seized at the moment. Or perhaps there's even momentum in a direction, but you're finding you've got momentum in a direction that you actually don't want to be heading in right now and need a shift. And I really feel that right now is the time that God wants to do something by the power of His Spirit in your life to WD-40 those wheels, to get them moving in the right direction again, or realign you to what He has for you. And so I would ask you, if that resonates with you, if you do feel like you are stuck, then seek the Lord. Seek the Lord right now. Not a different program, not just a different way of thinking at that surface level, but seek the Lord and His Spirit to move in and through you. And I really praying that you would have a fresh breath breathe on your life at the moment. Before we get to the message, can we pray? Can we dedicate this time to the Lord? Father, we come before you right now and we turn our hearts to you, towards you. Father, this is not just another day in church and not just another moment, Lord God, for us, but it is a moment where we incline ourselves towards you. And Father, I pray that as we come before you and open your word, as we open our hearts, that you would do what you want to do in us. It is not us conditionally opening up certain areas of our life and saying you can have that one and not that one. But Lord God, we want to open ourselves up completely to you for you to have your way. So Father, we give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Vision Sunday for us here at Life Ministry Church. And we do that and we share some of the vision of what God has given us for the year coming up as we move forward. And move forward, we absolutely will. Amen. But every year we have a word or a phrase that we come around. And as you could see, if you're in the room, you can see up on those boards, the heart of God, which was our theme for last year, grow before that. And He is moving in us. And we're going to get to a new word for this year a little bit later. But safe to say, there's some irony with regard to this word and where I find myself sitting here at home today. But to begin, I want to give you an update on a couple of exciting things that are happening within the church at the moment. And as we stay on mission together, our mission being for us to live and minister Christ. Life Ministry Church, we are about living and ministering Christ, about loving God and about loving others, about loving vertically and about loving horizontally as well. When I say about loving horizontally, married couples, don't get too excited about that. I mean loving everybody, loving one another in a up. You get what I mean. You get what I mean. Anyway, for the last few years, we have put aside time in the month of March and September for prayer and fasting. And our 21 days of prayer and fasting is coming up again in March. And so March 7 to 27, we are going to do our 21 days. And this is a time where we turn it up. We turn up the dial a bit and we pray. We seek God's face for direction, for breakthrough, for revelation, for wisdom, for answers to prayer. And we also fast alongside of that. And fasting is so important because it reveals to God by our action who is actually first in our lives. And you might be thinking about fasting, and you can fast food, you can fast meals, you can fast certain times of the day, or even a soul fast, which I know a lot of people do, which is kind of like removing technology or the need that we have for technology in our lives, which can help it take a back seat like it rightly should for those 21 days. And what it really does is allows us to be able to hear what God is saying clearly, to come before him and say, I'm not going to be ruled by my fleshly desire right now, because I'm coming before you and I want you to speak. And God, my heart is towards you. And so that's coming up, 21 days, and I want you to think about that and get excited about what God is going to do in your life and through you in that time. The second thing I want to talk about is Be the Love. And Be the Love, we launched last year for the first time, and it was really the bringing together of all of our community projects, all of the things that we do in our community in being the love to them. And Serve Day was what we did in October. It was an incredible day. We'd just come out of lockdown, and we were able to serve our community, and it was done so well. And that Serve Day has actually opened more doors. And Nick is doing a fantastic job in wrapping her arms around those in our community, those in need, and around us here at church, and about bringing us together to meet those needs. And she's doing a brilliant job with that. She has some awesome testimonies of things that we have been doing, and she's going to share those over the next couple of weeks with you. But I just want to say thank you to our church. I feel so blessed to be a part of such a servant-hearted church. And so to every one of you who is serving in our local community, who is being the love of Christ to them, thank you so much. And there is more to come. We have more opportunities coming, which Nick will share with us as well. Then we have our worship team. And Steph has been overseeing a new project from some of the members of our worship team. And it is a project that I'm sure is going to bless you, is going to bless our church. And I'm actually not allowed to share too much about that, and I'm not going to do that because Steph will be doing that in a couple of weeks' time. But it is very exciting. She's been working very hard on this. And our prayer is that this would help you to grow closer to God through this project that is coming your way. And that is the goal, that we would all draw near to him. And to be honest, that is our desire behind every single event, every single thing that we put on, every single group that we organize, is that it would lead you to God. It would lead you to a deeper relationship with him. That is our intent behind all of these. It's not just about doing something for the fun of it, or we think that's the right thing to do, but we want it to lead you towards God, because we know he is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer in every single season. And that you would be led to him in a more passionate, deeper way to say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. So stay tuned for that. The last thing is life groups. I want to talk about life groups for just a few minutes here before we get to this year in 2022. And this is big, and there are some changes coming for our life groups. If anything has been revealed to us about the human condition over the last couple of years, is that we need each other. We are made for community. And these changes that we're going to do to life groups will further that in an exciting way. The whole reason we run life groups as a church is because we understand that life change happens in the context of relationship. And the best way to deepen relationships is through life groups, is through small groups. You know, you could be, you're sitting next to someone in church, and maybe through 60 Second High you had a chat with someone. And that's great at that surface level. But we do require something that goes a little bit deeper than that, that we can actually spend time with each other. And life groups is a great way to do that. Life groups are all about relationship, about learning from one another, about praying with one another, about supporting one another. And they help keep you accountable. Don't we all need a bit of accountability sometimes? If you've ever joined the gym before, and you have tried to commit to getting along to classes or to it on a weekly basis, don't you know that it is much better when you have someone that knows that they are supposed to be meeting you there, that accountability? And being in a life group has that same effect, that we are kept accountable to our attendance and to the growth that we have in our relationship with God. The Apostle Paul knew this. And I want to look at what he says here in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. And you can read along with me. He says, even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so that I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. And so we have rethought the way we do life groups, and we want to relaunch them afresh in a couple of weeks' time. Our life groups will now be expanding to more of a free market style life group where your passions and ministry actually collide to become a relational group where life change can occur, where people come to know the hope that we have in Christ. And to be honest, I would love to see every single one of you in a life group as we move forward, because I know how powerful they are. And so, how is this going to run? Well, firstly, the topic. The leader is the one that chooses the topic or chooses the content. And life groups can be as varied as we are in our passions and our desires. And the current way of running things is exactly the way that it can continue. And we have some of our groups, you know, that will do a deep study on a book of the Bible. And they will use maybe our Right Now media content, or they will simply read it and discuss it themselves. There are some who are centered around a time of life together, a young married's life group, or a young family with kids life group. And you talk about how does the Word of God impacting our kids? How do we grow them in their faith? Perhaps it's a deep dive into a certain topic, a scriptural topic that these life groups do. Or simply it's a community group, and it is couples or families coming together and having a coffee and talking about life and supporting one another. But we want to expand that to what we're going to call freedom groups. And freedom groups are like we're going to do the Valiant Man course. And Valiant Man is a course about maintaining healthy sexuality for men. And we're going to launch that. And perhaps that's an area that you really need to get a handle on in your life. And this freedom group is one that you need to do. There might be one about renewing the mind, or perhaps you've lost a bit of control of your finances and we need to gain control of that. There will be a finances life group for you, or identity in Christ. But then beyond that, there are going to be other groups that are not as structured as that. Perhaps there's a basketball group. You've got a bunch of mates that are really passionate about basketball, and ministry can occur within that space of relationship around basketball. Or there's a cake making group that you perhaps could run that needs to, I love the story about how to cook that and where that came from in Anne and the passion she had to really just unload some of that knowledge to some women in her church. What a brilliant thing. A book club that is run. Perhaps there's a full drive group that you want to run with some people that you want to get together. And it runs over this time, and ministry occurs within those relationships around that passion that we have. A running group. And I even think about this one. You know, perhaps there's a life group for the coffee snobs. And every week you go and find a new snobby coffee shop and have a coffee and talk about it. And it's great, you know, do relationship within that. I know some people at church that might enjoy that too. But the idea is that there is a broad range of groups where community is furthered and relationships are developed, that Jesus is glorified in those contexts. Zoom groups might occur because that's the only way some people can join at the moment. I imagine just men from all different ages across the church that are coming together, unloading wisdom and inspiration to each other within the space of perhaps a leadership life group that occurs. The young mums that have just had a child, and mums who have children that have gone, are now out of school and are now connecting in a way to support one another in these times. People that have never met in church, look across the other side of the building right now. Eyeball someone that perhaps you have never spoken to, you've never seen before in your life, and there will be connection in that space. And really, I'm excited about this part, that perhaps non-church people would engage in community and find Jesus. And I'm sure you would know some people within your own spheres, whether it be workplace, whether it be school, whether it be family groups, that you know it would be so great for them to be a part of one of these groups, with the understanding that they might find Jesus there. So that's groups. And we're going to break it up into actually some seasons throughout the year, and possibly a third season over Christmas. And so seasons means that there is a start date and an end date to life groups. But it also means it can be perpetual if you would like. It can go throughout the seasons. But this gives you the opportunity to actually try different groups for a freedom group, you might be needing that right now. But then there's an interest group that you want to be a part of, or you want to lead a group for a season as well. As a leader, you know the time frame that you're committing to. And so season one will start in March and run for about 16 weeks, and then there'll be a further season as we go down the track. We're going to have a website, our website set up with a directory so you can search and you can find all the groups that you want to be a part of. But I want you to get excited about this, about doing community together and furthering that. And I'll get to that in a second. But ultimately, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head of each one of these groups. He is the ultimate leader. And we are simply stewarding a group that is already his. And this is important to remember because it will guide you in terms of what group you might want to start or what you're even thinking about in your own mind. And does that actually work? You might be thinking of a group that you could run right now, but perhaps you don't feel comfortable in being a leader. I've never been a leader before. Maybe I don't know how to lead a group. Well, we are going to provide some leadership training for you. And we're also going to partner each one of our leaders with a coach who's going to oversee them, who's going to help them, who's going to provide support and be able to pray with them as they make their way through the running of this group now as well. So what now? I want you to go away and I want you to think and I want you to pray about a group that you might be able to run in this next start season, starting in March. Who would you like to invite? Or what group would you actually like to attend yourself? What is a passion that God has given you that could lead to an increase in relationships? Because life change happens in the context of relationship. So we're going to have more information about that in the coming weeks as we launch that. But I'm certainly really excited and passionate about what God is going to do through our groups and through you as an individual and the ministry opportunity you might have. Amen? All right. It's good. So 2022, I always look forward to thinking about the next year, and I do that in about September or October of the previous year. And it was interesting that in September, October last year, we were in the middle of lockdown number 6 in Victoria here. And that was a tough time for many people, and we were really looking forward to the end of it. And it was around that time, early October, that God gave me this word for 2022. And as I do most of the time, unfortunately, I doubt it straight off the bat. And I throw it away and I wait to see if it'll actually come back again. And come back it did, over and over again. And one of the reasons I threw this word away is because of the circumstances that we found ourselves in. And I spoke about the irony of me being here today as well. Because the word that we have for 2022 that I believe God has given us for us as a church is the word freedom. Freedom. And you can see why I threw it out, can't you? Because we were coming to the end of a lockdown. And there were freedoms that had been taken away from us that were slowly being returned for some people. And I asked God, I was like, God, what is this? What is this word? Why freedom? Isn't that a cliche word right now? Isn't it just my personal response to this moment we're living in? And again, it's ironic. I find myself today in lockdown talking about living in freedom. And it's interesting, and I read an article this morning, and I really shouldn't have read it. It came up on my phone. It actually talked about freedom and the freedom group that is out there and has been making its way in society over the last couple of years as well and what they're fighting for. And it's interesting how so often the enemy will try and take something that God has ordained, a principle that is his, and he will twist it to make it something that is so far away from what God had originally intended. That is the way the enemy works. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. And that is what has occurred in this place. And I want us to actually understand what scripture says about this word freedom and why we should be embracing and looking towards freedom ourselves. And so I threw it and God said, no, this is a word for the people of our church. He wants to remind us of what it's like to live in freedom beyond what we see in the physical, in the natural. But let me talk about that for a moment. Freedom and our right to freedom here in Australia has been something that has been spoken about more in the last 2 years than I have ever experienced in my lifetime. Who gets to decide the amount of freedom that I have? And who gets to decide what level that freedom is mine? This has proven to be incredibly complex and one that many people have a differing opinion on. But let's look at what's in front of us right now. What does freedom mean in the Australian context right now? Generally speaking, up until the start of COVID, you could say that by comparison, we live in a pretty free country. We have mostly been free to go about our business and do things the way that we want to. When it comes to freedom of religion, we've been free to come to church. We've been free to hear the word of God. We've been free to share our faith, generally speaking, with others without fear of persecution or negative consequence. That freedom has been challenged over the past few years at certain points. Are we really free or not? Things nearly changed even this week as with the near passing of the Religious Discrimination Bill. I'm not sure if you've heard about that or read about that in the news. It is important for us to stay well informed of these things that are going on. But there was an amendment that was almost passed that would have caused catastrophic problems to Christian schools right across the country. And the freedom that we once had is slowly being eroded. And you might say that that door is closing day by day and that we are not free. But I want us to also make sure that we gain some perspective. Open Doors is an organisation that I've got to know over the last couple of years that's mission is to help people find hope in Jesus in some of the most difficult regions in the world. Every year they create a list called the World Watch List, which ranks countries based on how dangerous it is to be a Christian there. There are measurements that they have on violence and on pressure, asking questions like, would you be imprisoned for your faith? Would you be followed by secret police? Or would you be kidnapped by extremists? Places where believers are forced to choose between faith and freedom on a daily basis. For the first time in 2022, this place number one ranked is Afghanistan. And for second place, a bit of context, North Korea. Afghanistan, it is impossible to live openly as a Christian in Afghanistan. Leaving Islam is considered shameful, and believers may be disowned or killed by their family or clan. The Taliban takeover last year has only increased persecution. I want you to look at this this comment from one of the believers over in Afghanistan. They say this: how we survive daily, only God knows. He has been kind, but we are tired of all the deaths. And I want us to understand that context and to see the difference that the freedom actually makes. And I want us to continue to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in these situations and remember the opportunities that we have to worship and how easy it is to become complacent as ourselves in this country right here. And I know there are some people who will choose to come to church when it's most convenient, or perhaps to pick up a Bible, or perhaps you even have like five or six Bibles sitting on your shelf at home that would be so hard to come by. Let us make sure that we do not become complacent when it comes to meeting together, when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to sharing our faith. We have the freedom to do that right now. So freedom in their context, freedom to worship, freedom to actually reveal the origin of their joy, freedom to witness, freedom to raise their children without fear of other family members actually reporting them to the police. So this word freedom, we understand, is huge. One word that looks at many different things in many different contexts. And so we ask the question, how does the Bible actually look at a word like this that is so broad and applicable in so many different circumstances and infinitely complex? How does the Bible talk about this? And this is exactly what we want to get to in our study and pursuit of true freedom. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that all of the freedom that we have just spoken about, though it's incredibly important that we fight for it, ultimately, it sits below the Jesus-won freedom that we now have the ability of living in. We have sung about that this morning in a perfectly chosen song, Where I'm Standing Now. Let's get that into our thinking, into our spirit as we do this study. The biblical context for freedom. In my study, turn to the person next to you and say, get free, get free. Be like Craig. Say, be like Craig. Bring the joy. Thanks, Craig Moulton. Get some bacon. That's what we say. So in my study of the word free, or in my study of the word freedom in my Bible, it is mentioned over 200 times. The parallel or the flip side of this is the word slave, or is the word slavery, which is mentioned about 230 times. And so often these two words, freedom and slavery, are partnered in the same passage. That is the contrast that we're looking at. And looking back at the Old Testament, it was in relation to one of two things. either they were talking about slaves and the treatment of slaves, the operation of slaves and the release of slaves. Or secondly, it was in relation to the nation of Israel, God's people, and the various moments where they found themselves in captivity by another nation. And there was this talk of slavery and there was this talk of freedom. And when you do a study of a word or a theme in the New Testament, understanding why it is being emphasized at that point in the story is found in looking back in the Old. So a bit of Bible history before we get to it. We get the Israelites, God's chosen people, and they are in and out of captivity. They find freedom and then they're trapped again. And then there's disobedience and then it's found again. And then they're captives. And right throughout the Old Testament, you see this dynamic. And they have this ancient prophecy right throughout of this Messiah that is coming, a new king, a savior that is coming for them. And we come to the end of the Old Testament and Israel are not a nation in slavery. They are not. But they are still under Roman occupation. And the rule of the Roman Empire is strong. So they're still waiting. And they're looking for this king that is going to bring them freedom and that is going to bring them out of the rule of the Roman Empire to become their own nation again. They're attached to this physical freedom because it was the only context to freedom that they actually had. I'm a slave. If I'm a slave or under dominion, then I'm not free. If I'm able to live as I want, then I am free. That was their understanding. But then Jesus comes, and he's not this typical warrior king with a big sword that destroys all of Israel's physical enemies and liberates them from Roman rule. And many of us know the story. He comes, and he doesn't give the world what they want, but he gives them exactly what they need. As Batman was to Gotham, the hero. Not the hero that it wanted, but the hero that it needed. And Jesus comes into that context about want and need and knows the need and brings that to them. And it's into that context that we have our key verse around this thought of freedom. So Jesus said, we're going to read from John 8 if you want to start turning there in your Bible. And Jesus just finished talking with these people about this woman caught in adultery and he's standing there with her. And they're about to stone her. But Jesus steps in and reframes their whole understanding of the punishment of sin and the forgiveness found through him. And Jesus says, stone her? All right, go for it. But let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. One by one, they get up and they walk away. And then Jesus is the only one left standing there. And he says this in John 8, verse 10 and 11. Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. It is revolutionary. No condemnation in Christ. Go and sin no more. We move a little bit further down to verse 31, and Jesus is speaking to those who now believe in him. And John 8:31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you'll be set free? And so these people are attached to that widely thought and widely accepted thought of that day that as descendants of Abraham, as Israel being God's chosen people, that through their heritage alone, they were able to feel privileged and they were able to feel immune, as opposed to having this sense of obligation and responsibility. They completely misunderstood what it meant to be free. Doesn't that resonate with some of what we see going on at the moment? Completely understood what it really meant to be free and the responsibilities attached to that freedom. Jesus was not referring to freedom from human slavery. He meant spiritual bondage to sin. It was truth, not their religious heritage, that would set them free. John 8, 34 to 36, this is where we get to. 34, it says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And that, church, is good news. So this is a case of Jesus giving what we need instead of what we want. And he says, I see the bigger picture. I see it all. I know that what you've learned along the way, and I will give you exactly what you need. I wonder if you found yourself that in that position before, where there's been something you've wanted, and but you know that there's, or perhaps someone else knows there's something you actually need. I know parents can do that when they're giving gifts to their children. I know you want this, but I know you need that. And this is something that I experienced in my life as well. And my dating history was, sparse. Let me say that. I'll use that word, sparse. But it all began in grade six when I had two relationships in grade six. And it was built on the two pillars of communication, writing notes and never, ever, ever talking to someone face to face, right? Those two pillars. I had literally no idea what it meant to have a girlfriend. And yet all of a sudden, I have two of them at the same time. Yup, I'm sorry. I have repented and moved on with my life. But I even remember the day that I got dumped from by one of them. And if you're at church, if you're sitting there, if you're looking at the stage, look at the screen over to the left-hand side. That's where I am. And look at the doors right below the screen. And I was just out there. I remember it so vividly. And I was in the middle of running around with my mates after church, grade six kid, running around. And the conversation happened. It was very brief. I think it was the first time we'd ever talked face to face. And it was like, yeah, I think that I don't think this is going to work anymore or something like that. And I think my response was like, yeah, cool. No worries. All good. And then I ran off with my mates again. So I didn't know at all what I was doing when it came to relationships. Some 9 years later, and I didn't have much more of an idea, but it would be the time that I would date again and eventually date my wife, which was brilliant. And to be honest, as a 20-year-old, I really didn't have much idea of what it was to be dating as well. I've learned a lot. So young ones, if you want some advice, I'm happy to talk to you now, but that was my experience. But before there was that time of meeting Cass, there was a few years there towards the end of my high school years and late teens. But there, I had this yearning to be loved, this yearning to have someone to spend all of my time with, this real desire to enjoy life with someone else. And I remember vividly driving home one day and I was praying to God and I was saying, God, I need a girlfriend. God, I need a girlfriend right now. I want a girlfriend. My life is not complete without a girlfriend. And I was having this bit of a like pity party rant about, God, this is what I need right now. I can't believe you haven't provided me with this person right now. And having one of those goes, I wonder if you've ever done that about anything in your life. But I remember finishing school and I remember those years and I look back on them as a single fella and they were the years of my greatest growth where I had such an upward curve with my growth with God through that time. That he knew exactly what I needed, that beyond a relationship with someone else at that time, that my relationship with him was the one that needed to be put first, because that would put me in good stead for the rest of the time. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was exactly what I needed. He knew it on a whole nother level. And I want you to know that for you today, whatever situation you find yourself in, God knows your wants and he cares about your wants. He really does. He sees them and he knows your heart's desire. But even more importantly, he knows what you need. And he is the only one who can give it to you. You can trust in him, whatever it is. He knows it and he knows when it can be done. So, Jesus, he's saying, I know you don't even think you need the freedom, but I can see through the outward facade. I can see to the heart. And there is good news. The freedom that you actually need is found right here. That sin problem that you have, that the freedom is found in me. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. And church, as we enter this year of freedom, we need to remember that the freedom that we need, the freedom that we need to find every single day, can only be found in Jesus Christ. Through the forgiveness we find by what he did on the cross for us. By God's great love for you, you are free. You are free. So, answer me this question, church. Are you free? I hope there was a resounding yes in the building. Are you free? You are free. As the sun sets you free, you are free. I want to ask you this second question. Do you feel like you're free? I'm not sure that there was as much enthusiasm in response to that question. And I ask myself this question as well. Do I feel free? If I have freedom, then why do I struggle with things? If I have freedom, then why is it that I make poor choices? If I have freedom, then why does it continually feel like I'm imprisoned by my own flesh or my fleshly desires? Why is it that with that freedom, I experience those things, or we experience those things? There were three lines that came to me as I was praying over this theme of freedom that I want to see outworked in the lives of the people of our church. And I want to read out of Luke 4, 18 to 19. And Jesus says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So number one, I'm praying for us to see freedom from bondage in people. That if you feel like you are stuck in that rut, you are tied down, that you are held back, you know what it is, that chains would be broken in Jesus' name, that you would be released by the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, that blind eyes would be open, that where there has been a blinding by deception and lies, there would be an opening of eyes by the power of truth, that truth would set people free. Don't we know that today, right now, that people need to know the truth because they are bound, and that truth is the one, that truth of the fact that Jesus loves you and that he is for you is what can set people free. And thirdly, that there will be refreshing, that where there has been a weight or a lethargy, there will be a refreshing, a coming alive in Jesus' name. Lastly, the Apostle Paul speaks directly to the choices that we make. And I want to leave us with this today. In Romans 7, 21 to 25, Pastor Graham speaks this verse many times and it is so relatable, it's so apt. Verse 21, "I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Verse 25. "Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. This acknowledgement from Paul is something that I'm sure every single one of us can relate with, that war within us between our spirit and our flesh. But I want you to have confidence today that being a slave to sin is not the end of the story. Next week, we're going to be starting our first series in our freedom theme. And we're going to be talking about the battle that exists for you and I every single day in a series, Battle for the Mind. And this is going to give us the tools that we need to continue to fight on that battlefield from a place of freedom. So invite someone to church next week who needs to hear this series. But until then, I want to do something or give you something to do when you get home. So you've just heard this revelation that Paul has, and he is about being a slave to sin. And maybe the worship team, you guys can come up, and Steph, can we just sing that song that we sung at the start of the service, "Where I'm Standing Now"? What such powerful words. But we've heard this revelation that Paul has about being slave to sin because of his sinful nature. And he finishes Romans 7 like that. But then we turn the page and listen to the way that Romans 8 begins. He says this, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." That is great news. And I want to ask you to go home today. And I want to ask you to read, or maybe to take some time on it. Give yourself 10, 15, 20 minutes in Romans 8 and read the rest of Romans 8. It is such a powerful and hopeful chapter of Scripture. And I found myself, and I, I put on my audio Bible this morning just as I was sitting outside eating some breakfast and listened through Romans 8. It is so powerful. It is so hopeful. And I pray that you will get the revelation of what God says about you and what he thinks about you as you read that and listen to that scripture. It speaks about living a life in the Spirit, a life of Christian freedom. So in closing, before we sing, I want to give you some freedom scriptures as we go. Freedom from the power of sin. Romans 6:7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Freedom from bondage. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. We have freedom to love and to serve. Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Freedom in the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And freedom in truth, as I said, John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can we all stand in the building today as we sing this song, as we declare this freedom this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, we thank you that it is that truth that sets us free. And so, Father, I pray that as we continue to open up this subject, as we dwell on it ourselves, and as we walk in it, Father, we pray that you would be glorified, that the name of Jesus would be lifted high as we see breakthrough, as we see miracles occur, Lord God, as we see us begin to walk in that freedom that you have called us into, out of sin, out of death, and into life, and a life lived with the Spirit, that we would see you glorified. So, Father, we worship you this day. We thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And the church said, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Good morning, church. Can the hospitality team please hand out the elements? For those of you that don't know me, I'm Michael and I've been coming to LMC now for around 8 years with my wife Amy and my two daughters Katie and Chloe. So after Andy asked me to lead communion, I started to pray about what I should do communion message on, and the word fear just kept coming into my mind. And if I'm completely honest, so did the emotions and the feeling. I was absolutely terrified to do this. I was waking up in the middle of the night in sweats, and I was just scared. Now, I was actually at the point of calling Andy and just saying, I can't do this, I'm out. And that seemed really strange to me because fear isn't something I normally associate with communion, and it's not how I normally react to this sort of thing. So as I continued to pray on this, God spoke to me very clearly by giving me the following verse. He gave me Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this just kept playing over and over in my mind. And that's when it hit me that communion is actually an acknowledgement of the trust that we have in Christ. When I first started attending church about 15 years ago, I remember taking communion, sitting in the congregation just as you guys, going, this is nice, and thinking it's a good time to remember what I'd read about Jesus and what he'd done for me. That was sort of the level I was at. But I remember really vividly the first time communion went from remembering the stories that I had read to truly seeing what Jesus had done for me. I was actually sitting up the back here in church. And I remember actually feeling in my heart the sacrifice that Jesus had made by going to the cross to overcome my sin. I didn't feel worthy at the time and I was overcome with emotion. The thought that I am now free from sin and death because of him and that my life will never be the same, it was a truly powerful moment. I was a sobbing mess. It wasn't until I changed from remembering with my head to remembering with my heart that it really started to sink in. I now look forward to communion and I even welcome the rustling of the cups while I reflect. So this brings me back to what does this all have to do with fear? There's so much going on in the world at the moment that's uncertain. And when talking to people in general conversation, it's very common for the conversation to turn to how hard it is and that they're afraid of something. Afraid of what they'd heard in the media, talking to other people, afraid of what they'd experienced, and afraid of the unknown. So I really feel today that we all need to bring this to God. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully." That's from the Amplified. So today I ask, what are you anxious about? What are you worried about? And what are you concerned about? Give them to God, for he cares about you. I think Bethel Music said it best in their song, No Longer Slaves, when they sing, "I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God." So now I'll read from Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. "And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" So now I'll pray, and then we'll go into a time of reflection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice upon the cross. I pray that today you help us reflect, not with our minds, but with our hearts. Help us be more like you, Jesus. I pray that every person here today can become closer to you and can feel your presence in their hearts. We thank you that we can trust you and that we don't have to lean on our own understanding, but can trust that you have our lives in your hands. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. We'll now have a time to reflect, remember and repent, and spend time with God. Please take the elements in your own time.